Okay, we're going to race through this, but hopefully by the end of this, you will be equipped with a number of pitches that you can go out and tell people, so when they say, what is your book about, you know what to say. So we're going to start. The first thing we're going to talk about is taking a stance. And even though I'm not a baseball fan, that's what I'm going with my theme, because where you stand matters. So we're going to talk about genres. You want to click through these real quick? Sure. I'm going to just stand over here, sorry. So we want to know, what are they, why are they important, and which one are you in? Do you all know what genre you are in? Maybe, kind of, sort of. A lot of people come find me and they'll say, I'm writing a book and it's sort of a thriller, romance, mystery with an element of paranormal sci-fi in it. What category am I in? And I'm thinking, no, that is not what your book is about. You really sort of need to hone in on just the one. So, genres, this is hopefully not news to you. It went to the dictionary. It is a category of artistic, musical, or literary composition, which you're all working on, characterized by a particular style, form, or content. It is a kind, it is a sort. So, what kind of story are you? What sort of story are you telling? It's really important to know that handle and that genre. So, I want everybody to write down, because it's important to know what kind of story you're telling, what kind of story you are, because a genre can help tell an editor and an agent a little bit, a very shorthand, who you are. Can we get to the next slide? And there should be, it's an easy way to categorize what story you're in, and it's an easy way for an agent or an editor or publisher to know how to market your book, where to put it, what other books you like, and it'll help readers find books that are similar. If you liked X, you'll like Y, because how many of you read genre fiction? Everybody reads it. And knowing what you like and what the convention does can help make your story a little stronger. So this is, I found this from Stacy Whitman. She posted this a while ago on this genre map. And I want everybody to write down this URL. It's http://bookcountry.com/books/map/default.asps. The reason why I want you to write this down and go to this website is because I can't show it on PowerPoint, but this is an interactive genre map, and it does a really good job showing, I don't know if you can see it, in this top corner it says mystery, and it says general mystery, historical mystery, cozy mystery, police procedural, paranormal mystery. Within those major categories, science fiction, fantasy, romance, mystery, there are several subgenres. Find out what subgenre you are in, and this is a great map to click on, and it will give you a brief description. For example, a cozy mystery usually has a protagonist detective that is an amateur that has some sort of hobby, cooking, gardening, knitting, that comes in handy as they solve crimes. And so if that's what you're writing, don't tell people you write mysteries, tell them you write cozy mysteries. And the people who know will know where to put you in their thinking about it. And it's very easy, in your pitch, if you only have a few things to say, you say, I'm writing a cozy mystery, people will know it's shorthand for a whole lot of things that you may otherwise have to explain. So does everybody have that down? Good. Okay, so first pitch, fastball. Can you pitch your book in 140 characters or less? Everybody who has their syllabus, I have a little space on your thing that it has 140 small little dashes. For those of you who don't have it but have a computer that will count your characters, I want to know. You can do it. So let's do a couple. And we're going to do mine because these are the books I know best, and I hope you don't think this is shameless promotion, but it's the one I know the best. So, Hourglass Door. This is what I say when I pitch my book at bookstores, at Costco, to people in the street, the lady at the grocery store, whoever cares to hear about my book. This is what I say. It's a love story with a mystery that dates back to Leonardo da Vinci. It is 70 characters. And that's what I say every single time. It's like I say it in my sleep. But I've honed it down, I've pared it down, and I really did that mostly in a summer of Costco signings when I had 2.5 seconds, maybe, to tell somebody what my book was about. And I started out like, well, it's sort of a paranormal, but not really, and it's kind of a romance, and by then they were off into the frozen food section and I never saw them again. And I tried to hone it down, and that seems to work for me. I'll go to bookstores, I'll say that, and then they'll say, huh, tell me more. And that's all I need, and then I sell them a book. So if you want a little longer, I have this. When Abby meets Dante, a foreign exchange student from Italy, her life changes forever. This YA love story has a time travel twist. It is 131 characters. That's an awful lot of information that I packed into 131 characters. Okay, we'll do one more. This is my new book, After Hello. And is Nicole here? I don't think Nicole's here. I actually have to give her props for this because I've been practicing my pitch for this for months, trying to figure out. And last night we were walking back from dinner and she said, so what's your book about? I'm like, oh, you know, and this is what I said. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is it. And I said this, when Sam and Sarah meet in New York, they have 24 hours to see the city, find what they need, and just maybe fall in love. And I'm like, that's what I've been looking for. I have been struggling to figure out what to say. That's what I'm going to say. If you, this conference, in the next 5 months, when I talk about this book, I'm probably going to say that 100,000 times, because that's what the book is about. It is 121 characters. I even have room to play. I even have room to put some adjectives in there if I feel like it. So, now it's your turn. Everybody have your pencils out? Everybody have your computers ready? You have 140 characters or less. You have 2 minutes. It is 9:52. Go.
Give me 2 weeks.
This is the interactive part of it. Okay, pencils down. Who wants to tweet it? Raise your hand.
He did.
Who's pitching their book? What's your book about? You're done. Tell me what your book is about. Here's the microphone.
What's your name?
Rachel Hurt.
And what is your book about?
When Zayt saves Tiani from demons, his life of solitude changes forever, sending him into battles, fighting for her home village, all while trying to control the demons inside him.
Did you all hear that? Mm-hmm. Demons fighting for villages through romance? Okay, my main thing is be way more enthusiastic about your book.
Okay.
Believe it. Love it. Okay? Who else wants to tweet it? Tell us your name.
Curtis Moser. Bogart is a bad dog. When he kills his human's father, he sets out on a journey to become a good dog again.
Story about a dog. Everybody loves it, right? Thank you. Okay, we'll do one more. I'm coming to you in purple. People in the back. We'll try to catch
you
in a minute.
In modern day Salem, 16-year-old Anne Franklin will go to any extreme to unlock the mystery of her mother's disappearance. When that search leads to a discarded locket, a reluctant angel, and a demon who wants her blood to open a portal, Anne must decide if she can trust the one person that has done everything to keep the past hidden.
Okay. That's way more than 140 characters. It feels way longer than 140. Is it 140 words? Did you do a word count? I want 140 characters, but you have a lot of good information in there. I was really interested. I get a sense for what your book is about. I kind of am like, I'm going to ask questions. Tell me more. This is good. That's what you want. When you tell the pitch, when you introduce it, when you're very fast, it's a story about a dog. It's a story about a demon hunter. It's a story of vampires and a locket and mystery. Those are the elements that you want to hit because those are the elements that the reader will pick up and say, tell me more. That's what you want. Okay, does everybody feel like they've got...
Be excited.
Something, this is your elevator pitch, people. This is your 2 second, this is one breath. This is one sentence. What's your book about? You should know this. And don't worry, this is going to take some time to refine and you may change it up. But hopefully now you have some place to start for 140 characters. Hey, so, curveball. Now you've got your fast pitch down, right? You know what to do. So, what makes your books unique, special, or different? It's not just a book about a dog. It's not just a book about a vampire. It's not just a book that's romance. There's more to it, clearly, otherwise you wouldn't write it. So, this is what I call tag it. It's your movie poster tagline. This is also extremely brief. This is a phrase. So who's read the book Cujo? Speaking of dog books, it is Jaws. Look at it twice. Oh, I have pictures. There, it's Jaws with a dog. A big scary dog. Okay? Do you know what that book is about? Do you feel like you would know what that book is about with this? Okay, we'll do one more. I was watching, since it was the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, they had a whole bunch of specials on the History Channel, and James Cameron was doing one, and he talked about how it was the easiest pitch that he had ever done to sell that movie. He said it was Romeo and Juliet on this boat. That's what he did, and it made like a gazillion billion dollars. Okay, so this is my favorite. It's snakes on a plane. Who saw that movie? Please tell me I'm not the only one that saw that movie. I love this movie. It is way too cheesy. But the title tells you exactly what that movie is about. It's a movie about snakes on a plane. That's it. So, now it's your turn. Here's your movie tagline. I want you to think about your book. I want you to choose two products. They can be movies, they can be plays, they can be songs, they can be other books, they can be anything. Something that has cultural resonance. Something that the population already understands is a quick get. And I want you to compare it to yours. Here's the caveat. You cannot choose Twilight or Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings. You can't say, it's like, I don't want any of that. Because those are big, giant phenomenon books. And at least for me as an editor, when I hear people say, it's like Harry Potter, but with zombies. I'm like, Harry Potter's too big of a thing to get your head, to get your arms around. So pick something else. So pick books, pick material that would be appropriate shelf mates. Authors whose style you are similar to yours. If you like Rick Riordan, I know he's a big guy, but if you write like he does, if you are targeting that same audience, I want to know, okay? So go, you have 1 minute. I thought I had more time for this class. It is now 9:58. You have 1 minute. And then we're going to have some few people. I want to hear your movie poster taglines. Everybody write. Thank you. Okay, I know that wasn't a whole minute, but we have a lot to get through, and this is really fast. So, who wants to tag it? Really fast. Tell us your name, and what is your book about?
I'm Emma McNeely. It's Beauty and the Beast with a Scandinavian and Irish twist.
Beauty and the Beast with a Scandinavian twist. Zing! I get it. I totally get it. Who else? I'm coming over here, but I'm stopping at Matt first.
It's Fable Haven for Hikers.
Fablehaven for Hikers. Okay, good. One more.
Is the movie Taken in Gotham City's Arkham Narrows?
Say it again.
It's the movie Taken in Gotham City's Arkham Narrows.
Excellent. I feel comic book, I feel action, I feel adventure. And how long did it take you to say that? Like 3 seconds. That's what you want when you have, when people are asking, what is your book about? Maybe you only have 3 seconds. As they are walking past you, or it's at lunch and you're getting your salad, and you can say, it's Fablehaven for Hikers. And people who've read Fablehaven who know will say, hey, I like that book. There must be something I like about your book too, okay? Everybody now has their second little pitch in their arsenal. Okay, the next one, the slider. How do you slide the most important information into your pitch? Because you have a lot of information you want to say about your book. You have to explain the plot, tell me your genre, tell me who you are, make it exciting, put in some excellent adjectives, keep it short, keep it snappy, and that feels like there's a lot of information. So, This is confession time. This is the hook. Maybe some of you have taken this class from Jeff Savage, but I totally stole it from him, but it totally works, and so I am now passing it on to you, because all authors are thieves and we steal from each other all the time. Who is familiar with, who's been to Jeff Savage's class about the hook? Awesome. You're going to love this. So, you only need to tell me four things about your book. And this will also be the opening paragraph of your query letter. Surprise! Your pitch that you say in your knee-jerk reaction is the kernel of what will ultimately be your best query letter ever. It's different. When you're pitching, it's a little different. It's short, it's snappy. But from that pitch, you can develop and write and expand it to a really good query letter. And it starts with this hook. So tell me who your protagonist is. Everybody should know your hero's name is, right? That's easy. Tell me what the goal is. Tell me what at least one, it could be more, but at least one obstacle that's standing in his way. And tell me what the consequence of failure is. So here's my example. Frodo must take the Ring of Power to Mount Doom, battling through an army of orcs, or else all of Middle-earth will fall into shadow. Bazinga, that's Lord of the Rings. Now, clearly there's a lot more to that story. There's a lot of characters. They go places. There's wars and battles and magic and giant eagles and crazy people. But in one sentence, I have told you all four of those things. And if you had never read Lord of the Rings, you would have some really interesting questions. Tell me more about this Ring of Power. Clearly, it's a fantasy book with a name like Frodo. Tell me more about the world that you've built. And that's what you want. You want to create something that will elicit questions from your audience. So the other key thing, practice writing paragraphs that start with when. This is an if-then construction. If Frodo doesn't destroy the Ring of Power, then what happens? When Frodo comes into possession of the Ring of Power, he must do something active, okay? And I really wanted to give everybody time, like 5 minutes to write this down, but I don't think we're gonna have time. So, here, homework assignment number one. Please write your paragraph that encapsulates your hook. Here are some very random examples that I just typed up on the train. Here's protagonist. Remember, tell me about your main character. It can be very simple. 16-year-old Melissa hates her mother. Guess what? How much do you know about Melissa already? As a half-elf, half-orc wizard, William's life isn't easy. How much do you already know about William? Florence may have 80 years under her belt, a bad back, bad eyesight, and bad knees, but she isn't going to let that stop her. Guess how much you already know about Florence? Your hook paragraph does not have to be one sentence. It can be, but it can be two, maybe three. The important thing is to keep it to one paragraph and try to get all of that information in somewhere in that paragraph. So here are some ideas for goals. Tell me what your hero wants. Maybe he wants, he's in a quest to recover the stolen amulet of thieving, which if anybody finds, please, I lost. Wants to make it through one day without being laughed at. That is a noble goal. That tells me something about your book, that it's going to be character-driven, it's going to be introspective, it's going to be relationship-oriented as opposed to perhaps action-oriented. Must find a way home. That's a very noble goal. Save the universe from a space invasion. Tell me at least some obstacles. What's standing in your hero's way? Is it a madman bent on revenge? Is it self-doubt and fear? Those emotional character obstacles can be some of the hardest ones to overcome and the most challenging and the most dramatic for a reader to experience. What about an army of brain-hungry zombies or a fellow archaeologist searching for the same treasure? Just some ideas that's all you're gonna just need, a very brief phrase explaining what that goal is. Here's the consequence of failure. What happens if your hero fails? How high are the stakes? What's the payoff? Why should I care if Melissa hates her mother and needs to overcome her self-doubt and fear? Why do I care if Frodo doesn't destroy the Ring of Power? There's gotta be a high enough stake. That's the part that gets, oh no, now I have to see what happens. So maybe all of Middle-earth will fall into shadow. Maybe either she will die or her brother will. Maybe, and this is the scariest thing of all, you might learn the true meaning of Christmas. Whatever it is, what's the consequence? What's the payoff? What's the prize at the end of the Cracker Jack box? Tell me, I'm gonna wanna know. You know, but as we talked about, you didn't give me oodles and oodles of detail. You didn't give me lots and lots of subplots. You didn't give me lots and lots of motivations. you hit the highlights. With that, with those four things in hand, you will have the beginnings of a really strong opening hook paragraph that you start your query letter with. So when the editor opens it up and says, oh, look, it's a young adult novel, and here's a paragraph that tells me all the high things that I'm going to want to know, and here's how to get in touch with them to request their full manuscript and give them $50,000 and make them famous, right? That's what you want. So now it's your turn to hook it. Remember, start with a when or an if-then construction on your paragraph. Remember the four things we want: protagonist, goal, obstacle, consequence of failure. And this works as well when you are developing your story, when you're plotting and doing your character. If you ask this of each of your characters, ask your villain, ask your side characters, ask your main villain or your main hero, what's your goal in this book? What are the obstacles I'm putting in your way? How bad is it going to suck if you fail? That will help you get to know your characters while you're writing the book. I've done that with several of my characters, and it's been very enlightening. So not only is this a helpful tool to pitch your book to an agent or an editor, but it's a helpful tool for you to get to know your characters better. Find out what they want, what makes them tick. I'm not going to give you time, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to give you time to do it, unless we have time at the end. But I want to make sure we get through everything. So, now you have the fastball. You have your curveball. You have your slider, fourth pitch, the changeup. Wait, they say. I have more time? I have 45 seconds, I have 2 minutes, I have 15 whole minutes of a pitch session with somebody. Now what do I say? I've said my one sentence breath, hooray, and they're waiting for more. What more do I say? So, back cover blurbs. Why do you buy a book? Think about why you go to the bookstore. Why do you buy a book? You all spend money on books. You download them, you buy them. Why do you buy them? This is the interactive part of the class.
Escape.
For escape. Good. But why book A and not book B?
Recommendation.
What it says on the back of the book. Who the author is. What the cover looks like. There's a number of reasons, but everybody's wrist muscles are really strong because we always flip to the back of the book. And one of the things I love about my job as an editor is I get to write the stuff on the back of the book, which is what I wanted to do when I was growing up. It was really, now super exciting. Back cover blurbs, on average, are 150 to 200 words. This is also extremely helpful for people who perhaps have trouble plotting or organizing or summarizing their book. Pretend you're writing the back cover copy. I did this when I was working on Golden Spiral, and I was kind of stuck in the middle, and it's the middle of a book, it's the middle of a series, and I'm kind of wading through a bunch of muck, and I'm like, I don't even know. And I thought, I'm going to write this stuff on the back of the book. What am I going to say about how this book ends that it's going to get people excited? And so I'm writing it, I'm crafting it, I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to generate all the interesting things that the villain does, and I'm like, oh, well, if that's what my book is about, now I know what to write about. So if you're stuck with your plot, if you're stuck with your outline, and you don't know how your book ends, write back cover copy. What can you do? What can you explain? What can you show? What can you tell in that back cover copy that will hook a reader to buy your book? And then you'll know what to write about. So it's a good chance for you to showcase your voice. It's a good chance to help show the story. And again, this is going to grow out of your query letter, which is growing out of your hook paragraph, which is growing out of your pitch. So I have a couple examples. This is my good friend Becca Wilhite, who I gave her permission to not come to my class because she's going to be super famous. But this is her book, My Ridiculous Romantic Obsessions. This is, and I wrote this back cover copy for her, and it's one of my favorites because it was a chance that I could totally help capture the voice of the character. So this is only the first paragraph of it. It goes on a little bit longer, but I only had room for this. So this is what I wrote. This is not your typical romance novel. Yes, this is a girl meets boy story, but the boy is totally hot, while the girl is at best average, except for my wild Medusa curls, ugh. And yes, there's misunderstanding and a villainous outlaw and a timely confession of love. Well, okay, fine, it's totally a romance novel. But please note, there's no scantily clad woman on the cover wilting into the arms of a muscular pirate. I'm not that kind of girl. Do you feel like you know what the book is about? Would, if you saw that on the back cover, if you saw that in the query letter, would you read the next couple paragraphs? Would you consider buying it? Would you say, hey, maybe this is, maybe it's not my kind of book, but I know exactly who should read this? You want your back cover to give you a chance to express your voice, to showcase some of your talent. I've got a couple other ones we're going to skip. I did Silence of God and Bad Guys of Book Mormon, both of which are really good, but we're going to move on. Because now we're going to talk about Becca some more, because back in January on her blog, she wrote this awesome post called The Query Zone and Hard Things and What Makes Them Possible. Hang on one second. And that's from January 25. It's a very long post, but I highly recommend you go and read it. And she gave me permission to steal 0.5 of her blog. Let me check the time.
Becca will.
Okay, good, we have time. So this is what she said. Becca, she published two books with Deseret Book under our Shadow Mountain imprint. And then she'd been shopping around a brand new book, a YA fantasy, to national market. She was looking for an agent and she was trying to find everybody. And she did this just a few months ago, land an agent, and she's super excited. And I'm just pleased as punch because I found her in the slush pile and she's going to be one of my famous success stories. And so I've been watching her journey through this part of the process. So she had, this is what she says for, add a synopsis. So I hope you don't mind if I just read this part. Several of the agents I contacted requested a synopsis. How many of you are afraid of writing a synopsis or struggle with writing a synopsis and look at this and think, what the heck am I even supposed to do? How do I summarize my whole 150,000 word masterpiece into one page? Here is a secret that will help you. According to most sources, a synopsis is, write this down, point number one, 500 to 1,000 words. 500 to 1,000 word document, third person present tense. That tells your story. Remember all that business about show versus tell? You have shown, that is your book. Now tell. Sounds easy, right? It was hard. I found myself starting paragraphs, deleting them, saying unladylike words, starting more paragraphs. Repeat and repeat. Who's done that? Repeat, lather, rinse, and repeat, and delete, and repeat. So here's what I finally did that worked for me. It's not rocket science, but it's the beginning. Take it or leave it, as always. The thing that made this possible, and this is what I thought was brilliant and why I am sharing it with you. Point number two. In short phrases, I wrote what someone did, not what happened. There's a difference because you only have 500 to 1,000 words. So you don't want to go into all the psychology, the history, the backstory. What someone did. Verb, direct object. Point number two. I made a list. Maybe you're one of those character-laden people who outlines. If so, you win at this part. Just copy stuff from your outline. Another reason it might be good to learn to outline. I'll take it under consideration, says Becca. My list was about 18 to 20 sentence fragments that told, with an active verb, what someone did. If I saw the words realized, understood, or learned creeping into my list, I deleted them. That is not an action. Let's do one. Next slide. So, this is her list. Walks in woods. Sneaks into house. Eats porridge. Sits in chair. Breaks everything. Wakes to bears. Runs away. What's the book? Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Okay, that's easy, right? We can all do that. We can write a fragment sentence that starts with a verb and includes a direct object that tells what someone did in your book. Okay, when I made my real list, not this super classy one, took me from the beginning to the end of the story, I made each sentence fragment a paragraph or combined a few into one. So you take your fragments and turn them into sentences. Then you can take your sentences and turn them into paragraphs. Then you turn your paragraph into, surprise, a one-page summary. When all the verb direct object fragments became paragraphs, I whittled down what was too wordy and plumped up what needed more detail to be understood. As you can tell from my list above, I didn't list everything that happened in the story. I didn't list every character's viewpoint. I can fatten up some of those things in the paragraphs, but just enough to give the gist. Now that you've stunned them with your storytelling prowess, they'll be once again stunned upon reading your manuscript that you can also write. Does that seem possible? When I read that back in January, I'm like, holy cow, how have I never done that before? I think this is brilliant. I think this is a tool that is easy enough that everybody can do it. And I hope it will take some of the fear away of facing down that synopsis page of what do I do? Tell me what your main character does in the book. That's the key. People talk a lot about books that we want high concepts and we want fast action and we want good pacing and we want drama and all of those things. And you think, how do I do that? How do I express that? You make a list of the things that your character does, and then you expand that into a sentence, you expand that into a paragraph, and before you know it, you'll have 500 to 1,000 words of a really killer summary that is honest, that is true to your book, that is going to get somebody's attention, and they're going to say, well, this sounds like a totally awesome book. I'm going to read that first chapter. And they're going to be totally amazed by your first chapter, and they're going to say, I'm going to read the second chapter, and the third, and the fourth, and before you know it, they're going to read the whole book, and here's the dream. They'll send you $50,000 in a contract, right? I love that. So, do you all feel now? Like, I'm really excited about this. I want everybody to be excited about this. So, yes, in a summary, do tell me how it ends. In your pitch, yes, your pitch can be a little open-ended. Your pitch can be a little bit of a tease. Your pitch maybe doesn't have to end with, and then he died. And then it turned out it was a girl. And then it turned out it was an alien. And your pitch doesn't always have to tell me that, but your summary does. As you progress through telling me what your book is about, all the way from your first little pitch, all the way through your hook, all the way through in a summary, in your query letter, yeah, I want to know how it ends. Sorry, I do. And if you don't tell me, I'm just going to flip to the last chapter and read it anyway. So you might as well control what you tell me. So, there's more homework assignment number two. Take your hook paragraph that you've started in homework assignment number one, develop it into a whole summary for your query letter. So, now you have your fastball, you have your slider, you have your change, or your curveball, you have your changeup. Those are the four main baseball pitches. I learned that from Wikipedia. I'm so brilliant. And here's your grand slam, rounding the bases and heading for home. Okay? You have to choose what works for you, for your book, and for your situation. You may literally be in an elevator with somebody. That is not the time to trot out your 1,000-word summary and hand it over or try to explain it. You're going to stumble. You're going to end up saying, well, there's this guy, and he kind of likes this girl, and then this sort of thing happens, and it's way better than I'm telling it right now. Remember, in your back pocket, you have that fastball. Whip it out, pitch it, one sentence. Maybe you don't even have that long. Tag it. It's Fable Havens with a Hiker. It's the Gotham City and the movie Taken. That, maybe that's all you have time to say. Know when it's appropriate to use those pitches, and know when it's appropriate to use the longer, to explain the hook, to provide a summary. Those will usually come later. Those will usually come in your query letter, in your synopsis. So, as we move through smallest to largest, tweet it. Try to write it in 140 characters. Not 140 words, 140 characters. Because then, all of you who have Twitter accounts, how easy is it to tweet it to your friends? Pass it along. Tag it, it's just a short phrase. Hook it, it's one paragraph, two, maybe three sentences. There's a lot of information you can cram into one paragraph. Blurb it, write your back cover copy. It's 150 to 200 words. Summarize it. Now you've got plenty of room to play. You have 500 to 1,000 words. Somewhere in there, if you do all of those steps, if you try, you practice all of those pitches, you will find, you will hit upon the perfect combination of words that expresses what your book is about, that you can be enthusiastic about, that will tell somebody why they need to read your book and why they need to buy it. So, do you love books? Who loves books? Everybody loves books, right? When you think about the books that you love, and your friend says, what have you read lately that's good? What do you like? What should I be reading? What do you tell them? Next time your best friend or your family or somebody asks you, hey, what are you reading lately? Is it any good? What's that book about? Listen to what you say, because that's going to be part of your pitch. That's going to be part of the hook. What do you focus on? Do you focus on, oh, I love that book. The characters were so great and the dialogue was so snappy and they felt like real people to me. Well, that must mean you like books they have characters with really great dialogue. And if that's what you write, really great characters with really great dialogue, then your pitch should say somewhere in there, I write books about characters with really great dialogue and snappy comebacks. Because that's what you're resonating to. That's what you focus on. That's what you are interested in to read, and that's what you are interested in pitching. So, if you love books, love your book. Right now, nobody loves your book as much as you do, or as you should. You're the ones writing it, right? Love it. And if you love your book, tell a friend. And agents and editors and publishers, here is the shocking secret. We are all people who love books. We got in this business because we love to read. That's it. We found a giant loophole in the system where people pay us to read. Jealous? Yeah, you all are. I know. I am your best friend. When you sit down to a pitch session with an agent or an editor, they have the potential to be your very best friend. Tell them how awesome your book is. Be enthusiastic. Look, see, look, home run. Be passionate. Be sincere. Love it. That kind of enthusiasm cannot be faked, and it is contagious. And if you are excited about it, if you can pitch your book confidently and quickly and have answers to the questions that I'm gonna ask, like, tell me more about your main character. What's he really like? Tell me more about Andy. You said something here about this hidden destiny that he doesn't know about. That sounds cool. What about this moment? Love your book. Talk about your book. You never stop pitching. Somebody, somewhere, is gonna take a swing, and it's gonna be a home run. So, here's your last point. Do it! Homework item number 3. I am so glad this class is the first class breakout session. You have all weekend to practice your pitches. So, in a giant brainstorm before the conference, I decided to kind of be wild and crazy. This is your homework. I want you, everybody in this room, to promise that you will pitch your book all weekend long. I want you to practice your tweets. I want you to practice your hooks. I want you to practice your tags. I want everything. I want you to keep track of how many people you pitch to. Today at lunch, how many people are at a table? 8, 9? Pitch your book at lunch. Pitch it at dinner. Ask for their feedback. Keep track. Monday morning, email me by Monday morning after the conference. Email me the number of people you pitch to. I don't care if they were unsuccessful pitches or not. I don't care if everybody said, oh, that's nice, pass the rolls. I don't care. You got out there, you pitched, I want to know. Highest winner, I'm going to offer, I will either edit your query letter and give you personal feedback, or I will give you a first chapter review. Is that a good prize?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. There's my email. Everybody write it down. It's lmangum at DesireeBook.com. That is your homework assignment number 3. You have to pitch your book. It's the only way you're going to get better. It's the only way you're going to find that magic phrase that gets everybody's attention and sells your book. Yes?
Is there something you wanted to put in the subject so you know we're not a slush or query or something else? You know
that's in your subject, just put story maker pitch homework. And I'll just gather them all up. And if nobody does it and you pitch to one person, maybe you win. If everybody else slacks off, I want to know how bad you want to sell your book. This is the perfect conference to practice, the perfect conference to pitch. There are so many people here that do what you do, that are willing to give you feedback and are willing to give you help. Pitch them, then say, what's wrong with it? What don't you like? What can I do better? Listen to what their questions are. Hone in on finding out exactly what it is that you are going to say. And it's going to work. You're going to do it. And I think we have time for, good, we have 5 minutes for questions. Nobody has any questions. Yes.
Can you pitch
me right now? Yes. I'm going to come give you the microphone. See? Look, and I'm going to be number 1 on your list. Already the rest of you are falling behind. You have a front runner. Okay, here's the pitch.
When Eddie wishes to be free of family, magic will assist, but love and family steps in to redeem him.
Good. I like it. Good. I like your keywords. You have faith and family. There's a magic element. There's a promise of redemption. I'm intrigued. Good fastball. Okay, questions?
So when you're in a 10-minute pitch, like you're in right now, do you give them the short version or do you give them a longer version? When you have that amount?
When you've got the time. Her question is, what do? I have a whole 10-minute pitch. I would lead off with your very fastball. Hit him in the head with it. Here's my book, whammo. And then you're going to have 9.5 minutes to talk about it in detail, to find out what it is exactly that they are interested in, what caught their attention. Have your hook paragraph ready, because you may have time to say, let me tell you a little bit more about my book. Have your synopsis, have your summary ready, because you may be able to say, let me tell you a little bit more about my book. Let me give this to you to take back to your office. Let me, so that you can build on that. Don't come in and say, here's my summary, and take 9 minutes. And then they only have 30 seconds to say, oh, well, that sounds great. It was nice to meet you. You want to engage in a dialogue. You want to engage in a conversation about your book. That's where you will shine as an author. So have both of them in your back pocket. Pitching nonfiction. I think the hook paragraph still applies. Your nonfiction will still have a protagonist. There will still be some sort of goal. Why are you telling this particular story? There's clearly some obstacles that happened in real life or a problem. Maybe your nonfiction is inspirational and how to overcome adversity. I mean, those are the obstacle things. And the payoff is going to be why you are going to be a better person for having read this book. What am I going to learn? What are you teaching me through this nonfiction book? Yes?
Can you show us how you would pitch an Howard Lutz story?
Oh, this is what I would do. I would say it's a love story with a mystery that dates back to Leonardo da Vinci. That's what I would say. Whammo. And then, because this is what happens, I go to bookstores all the time and I say, have you heard about my books? And they say, no. And I say, it's a love story with a mystery that dates back to Leonardo da Vinci. And then I say, because they're looking at the book, and they're like, oh, really? Is it like the Da Vinci Code? And I say, no, it's nothing like that at all. And I say, Abby's a senior, and now I have my back cover copy in my head. And I say, Abby's a senior in high school, and she meets Dante Alexander. He's a foreign exchange student from Italy. And he's guarding a secret that dates all the way back to Leonardo's Da Vinci Code. So there's a lot of suspense, there's a lot of drama, there's romance. The heart of it is a love story between Abby and Dante. By now, many people are throwing their money at me and running away with the book. Because that's been working, so that's what I say. If there's some kind of hanging around and I don't really know, then I kind of say Abby's life is in danger. The closer she comes to uncovering the secret that Dante's hiding, the more her life is in danger. Because there's a time travel twist, and Dante's not the only one who's come through the hourglass door, and he's not the only one looking to go home. And by now, they're like throwing buckets of money at me and grabbing all three books and running to the cash register. And so I progressed all the way from quick highlight, now I tell them the back cover copy. Because often, especially when you're talking to people, even if they have the book in their hand, they don't always read the back when you're right there. So know what it says. Those marketing points are going to be in there, and you can pull those out and use them when your conversation, when you tell them about them. And then if people are still like, oh, gee, I don't know, and I say, my target audience is a great YA for girls, that sort of 14 to 17 age, but I've had readers as young as 10, and then all the way up through moms and college and grandmas, it's a great book to share with your whole family. And by now, everybody buys the whole store. So that's what I do when I go out. That's how I pitch my own book. One more question, and then I think maybe I'll talk to you after. Because we only have like 2 more seconds.
How do you feel about throwing in the age, especially for YA clinics? You have that limited amount of tweet space.
If you have limited amount of tweet space, do you put in the age for YA?
Yeah, like 17-year-old or 14-year-old.
I think if you have the room, put it in. 17, if you spell it out, it takes a lot of characters. If you put numerals, it's 2. Thanks, BJ. So please practice your pitches, write them up, be enthusiastic, sell your book. And now for the next 48 hours, when somebody says, what is your book about? Do you all know what you're going to say? Yes. Email me Monday. We'll pick a winner. Thank you so much for coming. Have a great conference.